line is Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gawainu. So we will sing it slowly. Please repeat after me. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gawainu. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gawainu. Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya. Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya. Janiya Suniya Vishay Khainu. Janiya suniya bishay khainu. Golokera prema dhana harinama sankirtana. Rati na janmi loke nitai. Samsara vishanale divani shahiya jwale. Churiyate na koinu paai. Brajendra nanda jay sachi sut hoi lo se. Balam hoi lo nitai. Dina hina jat chilo harinam udhara ilo. Tara shakshi jagai madhai. Aha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Vrishabhanu Sutta Jata. Aha Prabhu Sanda Sutta Vrishabhanu Sutta Jata. Karuna Karo Eibaro. Karuna Karo Eibaro. Narottam dasa koi nathi lai dvanga pai. Narottam dasa koi nathi lai dvanga pai. Tuma bina e acharag ama. Tuma bina ke ache amara. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gawainu. O Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly. Having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love in Golok Vrindavan has descended as a congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? day and night my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. Lord Krishna, who is the son of King of Raja, became the son of Sachimata, Lord Chaitanya, and Balram became Nithai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jagai and Madai, are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das Thakur says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you? So Narottam Das Thakur, his prayers are almost like Vedic Shastras. Prabhupada says they are no different from the Veda. Veda means, of course, knowledge. And what we have gathered here is for transcendental knowledge. And this transcendental knowledge, when it is applied, it becomes bhakti. So today, I will be speaking to you on this subject of the teachings of the 12 Mahajans in this subject of bhakti. Let us first offer our prayers to Srila Prabhupada and all the Gurus and Acharyas. Om Agnyanti Mirandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Dilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscham Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanostute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare I want to start by telling you a small story. There was a priest, a Brahmana. He was a priest, but a very, very noble soul. He was at the bank of the Godavari River, and he was doing his bhakti in a small kuti there. But he was preaching, and he was telling them, all the people who came, that don't violate these four regulative principles. Do not eat meat, do not eat fish, do not eat eggs. Do not take intoxicants like alcohol, smoking, ganja, etc. Do not have illicit sex. and do not indulge in gambling. This was his preaching, and he was teaching them how to sing the glories of the Lord, and he would always tell them the pastimes of Lord Krishna. But in the neighboring area, there were some gundas. Like always, even in Vrindavan, when Krishna himself came, there were asuras. So what to speak of this Kali Yuga? So these gundas' business was affected very badly, because they were selling alcohol, they were selling cigarettes, they were indulging in number game, this speculation. So their business was dwindling every day. So they thought, let us somehow or the other get rid of this fellow. But he's so well known and he's so powerful that we cannot kill him. But we will insult him in such a way that he will run away from here. So they found one professional small-time idiot who was prepared to do some dirty work for them. So they paid him money. And they said that you just spit on him every day morning when he goes for his Sandhya Mangal Arati early morning. He does in the Godavari River itself, and he is doing his Gayatri Mantra, all that. You just spit on him and keep spitting on him till he runs away from here. Okay. And for every spit we will give you 1 rupee. So there was an incentive for him. So this fellow, he went with all, he said, this is not going to cost me anything. This is the best business. No cost, all gain. Only losing spit. So he went early morning full of spit and spite. And he started spitting on this poor fellow who went to the Godavari River. But this person was a devotee. While this man spat on him, he didn't budge an inch, he just went back again in the river, had a bath again. So once he had a bath, 2 times he had a bath, 5 times he had a bath, every time this fellow spat, he went and had a bath. He didn't say a word, he just went and had a bath. And in this manner, 100 times this fellow spat on him, and this fellow went for the 101st time for a bath. 108 times he spat on him, but he still went in and had a bath. Now you can imagine, that fellow was losing his patience also, and he was feeling little internally, because everyone originally is Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says, we are all originally Krishna conscious beings, but because of our association with matter since time immemorial, we have now become conditioned souls. But his conditioning was getting out, with his spit was coming out his women also. And this devotee, he did not even look at him. He just kept on having his bath. So eventually this fellow who was doing the spitting, he went with folded arms and he said, I am very sorry, I have done this. You are a real devotee. I should not have spat on you so much and gave you so much trouble. But I was paid for it, you see. And now what should I do? He said, no, that's no problem. He said, but I'm so sorry, I must apologize. He said, no, what are you apologizing? You have done a great service for me. How did I do a great service for you? He says, never in my life have I had 108 baths on the same day at the same time in the Godavari holy river. So you've done a great service for me. Whatever Krishna does is for my good. So this fellow became his disciple. And he, since that day, forgot about collecting that money also, but he followed this saintly person. So in our lives, we have all experienced somebody or the other, otherwise none of you would be in this room, having experienced some saintly person like Srila Prabhupada. And what did Srila Prabhupada do? Though people were against him, though he had so many difficulties, somebody even tried to murder him in New York, still, he did not budge an inch from his bhakti, and he did not even look back or comment on anyone, but he continued to do his serious devotional service for Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's order. So in light of this, I thought it might be a good thing to tell you that the first principle we learn from this little story. I would like to ask a question. Did anybody understand the underlying principle of this story? A principle of science. Yes. Humility. Well, humility is a science of the soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Shishastakam. But I am talking about science of the classrooms. In the science, we all learn that action and reaction are equal and opposite. This is physics, material physics. We all learn that. So if somebody in the middle of the street, it happens to anyone, somebody comes and does something, you immediately react, isn't it? Even a dog will react. So, it is an animal reaction. It is not a human reaction. A human being is not supposed to be an animal. So what happens is, if you are a human being, for every action on you, for every material action that comes on you, you have an option. Please remember, for every action, there should be an option and not a reaction. You must then quickly weigh what are the options in front of you. The first option is, of course, the animal instinctive option. But one must rise above the level of the mind and go to the level of vivek. Vivek means discrimination of the intellect. Am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Now, very often we get confused, and therefore we need help from the acharyas, and we need help from guru, sadhu and shastra. If you have that, then you have perfect options. And then you can weigh these options and then take a decision. So Prabhupada says that the best options are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, as you all know, is none other than Lord Krishna himself. And what happened is that he says in the Bhagavatam, and of course Vedvyas has written it, Sukhdev Goswami has spoken it to Parikshit Maharaj, that there are 12 Mahajans who lead the way, who tell us. They are virtually like our acharyas. Just like, first of all, you all know that we all belong to Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya Sampradaya. What is the word Sampradaya mean? Sampradaya means spiritual university. We belong to a university where there are such highly qualified professors. If you go to Bombay University, a professor will retire in due course and die and everybody will forget him. But in a spiritual university, our professors are eternal. These professors, right from Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, Madhvacharya, are alive today in our university. And they teach us even today. And therefore, ours is a great university. And therefore, in this university, there are 12 top-class professors who are the 12 Mahajans who are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let us now attend their class and see what does each of these professors in his class tell us. And what are we to learn from this and how are we to progress? To start with, I would like you to go backward in time to about 8 million of your births. All of you have seen Yamaraj, but you have forgotten him, fortunately. Krishna says in 15th chapter, 15th verse, Sarvasya Chaham Radhisannivishto Smutir Gnana Ponancha Vedesya Sarver Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Kutve. Right? My good friend and God brother always gives me inspiration, Gaurang Prabhu. So, we have here Krishna who gives us forgetfulness, because it was harrowing, very difficult experience we all went through. when we were with Yamraj and the Yamduts. And we wanted to forget that chapter. But Srimad Bhagavatam very kindly reminds us of that chapter. And therefore we are going to the 6th canto, 3rd chapter. And here Yamraj is telling his Yamaduts, his assistants, real religious principles. I will take it in Sanskrit first. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Na ved vidur rasyo api devaha. Na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuto na vidhadhara charanadhaya. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please note, we are sitting in an ISKCON center. ISKCON is not a religion. ISKCON is a society. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are not teaching a new religion. Prabhupada did not make a new religion. Prabhupada says that we are following Vedic Sanatana Dharma, which is the most ancient religion. And that was established by Krishna himself. Because only God can make religion. Who says this? Yamraj tells the Yamaduts. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles. Nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddha Loka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, Vidyadharas and the Charanas. That means we are starting with the first of the classes of our 12 Mahajans, Yamraj. He teaches his Yamaduts. Of course, I don't recognize any of you as Yamaduts, but anyway, and I hope none of you become one, and you will not. But it is a fact that he tells them that there are these 12 Brahma. We'll go through the teachings of Brahma. We'll go through the teachings of Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, four Kumaras, Kapil Dev, Swayambhu Manu, Prahlad, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, and Sukhdev Goswami, and I myself, means Yamraj, know the real principles of religion. So they know the real principles of religion, and therefore we are attending this class. My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord, and love for Krishna, is uncontaminated by material modes of nature. It is very confidential and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand. But if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated, and thus he returns home back to Godhead. So we got our ticket. Ticket to go home back to Godhead. Simply by listening. Shravanam. That's all one has to do. It's so easy in this Kali Yuga. Simply by listening, you can go home back to Godhead. You don't have to do anything. And what do you have to listen to? These 12 Mahajans and what they teach. And in short, before my time is up, I will try my best to give in short. But then you should study or discuss with someone the details. Devotional service, beginning with chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Because dogs and cats cannot chant the holy name of the Lord. Only we who are having human bodies can chant. So the first and ultimate religious principle is, according to Yamraj, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle. If you know the religious principle and you practice this religious principle, you go home back to Godhead. It's 1, 2 and 3. 3 steps. Okay. My dear servants, who are as good as my sons, Yamraj treats Yamduts as his sons. Just see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The greatly sinful Ajamil, whom they had tried to catch and bring, as you all remember, chanted only to call out his son, not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name. He chanted the name of Lord Narayan. But here is the catch. Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord Narayan, thinking of his son, But he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Just remember, there are two processes I am talking about. Thinking and chanting. The religious principle, ultimate religious principle is chanting. You may think of your son, but you must chant the holy name of the Lord. This is specifically written in the Bhagavad. It's not my concoction. Okay? Always chant the holy name of the Lord. But under what condition? Helplessly. Yamraj explains, because he chanted the holy name of the Lord helplessly. Helplessly means surrendered. He did not think that anyone else could help him. Helplessly means that when you think that somebody else can help me, it is obvious that in front of three gigantic, very powerful Yamaduts, what that little child could have done? Nothing. Ajamil, even though he was half drunk and he was half mad, but still, he still realized that much, that his little child was no match for these three Yamaduts, even if he called out. But because he chanted helplessly, this is not the first time. Listen to another story. Draupadi, she is brought where these Pandavas are playing this game of dice with the Kauravas. And unfortunately, she is being disrobed. The lady cannot be disrobed. But anyway, Dushasan was doing this nonsense. And she chanted Krishna's name helplessly by raising her hands, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I noticed about 25-30% of you were chanting helplessly. So, unka to ticket ho gaya. Now we come to the rest 75%. So, I could make out that many of the ladies were closing their eyes and really chanting helplessly. Now about the men. Because men have got much false ego. That is the problem with men. And therefore they think they can do things which God cannot do. And therefore they have taken a body of Purusha. Actually, the soul, we are all soul. We are not body, we are soul. And the soul is female. All souls are female. All jivatmas are female. But those jivatmas who think they can be also Purush, Lord says, alright, I'll give you a body like mine. A human form with a male body. See what best you can do. And usually he will fail. Because at the time of his death, like Ajamil, he was helpless. But fortunately, he chanted the holy name of the Lord. So the first lesson we learn from Yamraj is that he tells the Yamaduts that, look, the principles of religion are enumerated by only God. Nobody else can do the principles. And the highest principle is the principle of chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So please, please never give up the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. It is not like, I've been chanting for 30 years, I've been chanting for 40 years, 50 years, now it's enough. Mera quota ho gaya. There is no quota. Because from this quota you will become finished. If you think in that terms, you have to continue, continue till your last breath in this human life, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And it is so easy because Prabhupada has made it very simple. Minimum 16 rounds a day. Now we go, because we have short time, we go to a very, very interesting part, because we are talking of the ladies and the Matajis. So who else but Kapil Bhagwan is teaching Devuti Mataji something wonderful? Devuti Mataji is saying to her son that, my dear son Kapila, he's God after all. My dear son Kapila, after all I am a woman. It is very difficult for me to understand the absolute truth because my intelligence is not very great. But if you will kindly explain it to me, even though I am not very intelligent, I can understand it and thereby feel transcendental happiness. So Mataji is saying to Kapil Bhagwan that, I know what I am. That is one difference. Women know what they are. Men think they know what they are. Women always know. That is a big difference. Women know that this is a limit, this is what it is. And men go beyond the limit. That is one of the big principal problems. So what Kapil Bhagwan replies? A wonderful thing. He tells straight away, he comes to the point. Bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate effort, just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat. Please try to understand that we have got five bodies, not one. All of us are seeing only the Anamaya Kosh, the external body. Inside this external body, Anna food, Maya temporary, Kosh is covering, there is another body inside called Pranamaya Kosh, the breath of life. Inside that, there is Manomaya Kosh, the mind body. Inside that, there is intellect body, Vijnanamaya Kosh. And finally, there is Satchidanand, that is the Jivatma. So this Jivatma has got these coverings, including the immediate covering of intelligence. It is said that intelligence resides very close to the soul and the heart. People think that intelligence resides in the head, but that's not true. Intelligence is the next door neighbor to the soul. He is sharing the same apartment. And when, supposing you have been a student, you know that you are sharing the same room in a hostel. You know so many things. You can do so many things to your partner. You can influence him, you see. So the mind, which is a separate thing, intelligence is a separate thing, intelligence buddhi. So here he says that the subtle body, which is composed of intelligence and mind, these two things get dissolved by bhakti. Now this is a very important word, dissolved. Prabhupada uses the word dissolved. In the chemical process, when you add something to a impurity, that impurity goes away forever. That is called dissolve. You see? A full reaction takes place in when it is dissolved. The original impurity cannot remain. That is called dissolve. If you are only transporting something, moving the impurity from place A to place B, that is not called dissolve. See, once a reaction takes place, so the chanting of the holy name, bhakti, the first process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So these three, once they are acting on the outer covering of the soul, a very important process takes place. And this process, our Kapil Bhagwan explains, bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body. Okay, so you may ask, if my subtle body is gone, if my intelligence is gone, if my mind is gone, then what is left? Ah, the important thing is left. Your true spiritual intellect and your true mind, spiritual mind, which were dormant, they wake up. You see, just as, supposing you are sleeping, correct? When you are sleeping, you cannot think. You cannot do any intellectual operations. You are imagining you are going somewhere, you are meeting someone or doing something. The moment you wake up, you don't think back that my mind I have left behind. I was such a rich king in that dream. Now what happened to all my money? I had such a big bank balance, or I had been a big pandit and I had sung so many shlokas. But I can't remember a single shloka. I wish I was permanently sleeping. Now nobody says that. Nobody wants a permanent dream. You want to wake up. So bhakti actually wakes you up and makes you remember who you are and puts you onto the right platform. Who says this? Kapil Bhagwan says. Then he further says in 3rd canto, 25th chapter, text number 34, that a pure devotee who is attached to the activities of devotional service and who always engages in the service of my lotus feet never desires to become one with me. Here it is. This is the, he smashes all Mayavad philosophy and Shunyavad philosophy. A pure devotee who is attached to the activities of devotional service. Why we should do devotional service? All of you remember? Yamraj told the Yamaduts, by doing devotional service, you get the ticket to go home back to Godhead. Okay. So that is the first reason why we are doing devotional service. Now, in the process, supposing you are in a train going from Bombay to Bangalore, assuming you are going to Bombay to Bangalore, and some idiot comes in your compartment and says, saying, what nonsense, this train is not going to Bangalore. You take any ticket, man, you can go to Bangalore. You can go in that other train, it's written there Calcutta, but Calcutta hoke bhi Bangalore ja sakta hai. You see, now that is all nonsense. That is what these Mayavadis are saying. Every tatapat, what is that Prabhupada says? Huh? Yatomat tatopat, isn't it? Anything, any road, any Vishnam, anything will do. As long as some people are saying, we pray to some snake, we pray to some stone, then somebody will ask you, if they, you bring them here, why are you praying to Krishna and Radhaji? They are made of marble, they are stone. The answer is, no, we are not idiots. We do not pray to a stone. We pray to the form of the Lord. Prabhupada makes it very clear. You must try and learn Prabhupada's teachings perfectly. Prabhupada says, Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's paraphernalia, they are all on the same absolute platform. Now to get a form, you need something which is authorized. We are not using something unauthorized. In the Shastra it is stated, you can take white marble and make a form of the Lord as per the Shastra. We don't use our own imagination that God must look like this or that. No. That will also come. One of our professors is going to teach us that. In later, I will teach you that. But first of all, coming back to Kapil Dev, teaching his mother, that simply by doing devotional service to the lotus feet, one should never desire to become one with me. Such a devotee who is unflinching, engaged, always glorifies my pastimes and my activities. Now here we come to Lord Krishna's pastimes and activities. Because the Mayavadis always say that the pastimes of Lord Krishna are all stories for little children, you know. It's all sentimental. Bol jane ka. But that is not true. If you do that, you may go to a form lower than mankind also. Because you also take a form. The Jivatma also takes a form. By simply remembering the pastimes, here Kapil Bhagwan says, we should remember the pastimes of the Lord. And you choose your own favorite pastime. That is easy. Prabhupada tells us that before you go to sleep, always read the Krishna books at night. Isn't it? Two things he used to do himself. And he told everyone to do, all his disciples. One, does anybody remember what's the first thing to do? Drink hot milk, he said. Always drink hot milk before going to sleep. And second, he said, always read at least one chapter of Krishna book. And you can read the same chapter even 200 times. Never mind, it is better. Because if that particular pastime of the Lord sticks in your mind at the last moment of your life, your problem of this coming back and going round and round in circle in all these 84 lakh unis is solved. So please try to read the pastime of the Lord, whichever you are comfortable with, which you feel happy to read every night, and you will find that gradually that pastime will come to you even in your dreams. That has been experienced by devotees. If you keep reading that same pastime, supposing you are reading Putna's pastime, very fine, then you will see Putna also. Both in the form of Lakshmi Devi before and afterwards also. So that in future you will never be scared of anybody. Even if you go to the worst horror movie or whatever you see. Because you couldn't get a worse horror piece than Putna. You see. So there is no problem. You become yourself Abhay Charan. That is the beautiful name of Lord, our Bhaktivedanta Swami. AC stands for Abhay Charan. So here we have our Kapil Dev in the third canto explaining to Devuti Mataji. Wonderful thing. There is a subtle body of the living entity gets dissolved by bhakti. He further says that one should not become a Mayavadi. Only concentrate on the pastimes of the Lord. Study the pastimes of the Lord. We now move to the hero of our 12 Mahajans. Who is the hero of the 12 Mahajans? The best professor of all, Prahlad Maharaj. Because according to Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj is the greatest devotee. He says in the 7th canto, 10th chapter, 8th slok. I am going straight for the English because we have no time to go through the Sanskrit. Oh my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the function, now here is important, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory and truthfulness are all vanquished. So we have to reinstate all of them. Prahlad Maharaj says that from the very birth, Janam Sehi, we are lusty. Now all of you know, we have come through so many classes here and elsewhere, the three greatest enemies we have got. We must know our enemies. Just as we must know our friends who can help us eternally, we must know who are our enemies eternally. And we have to vanquish these eternal enemies. Now which are the three enemies? Lust, anger and greed. They are the three royal roads to hell. Slippery, red, wonderful, tasty, but slippery to hell, straight. And difficult to claw back once you go down a slippery road. So, Prahlad Maharaj, straight away in class number 1, he hits the nail on the head that, oh my Lord, because of lusty desires, he tells Dasi Bhagwan of all people, because of my lusty desires from the beginning of my birth, the function of my senses has vanquished. Which senses? Spiritual senses. 2, mind. Which mind? Spiritual mind has gone. Which life? My spiritual life is finished. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I am born in an Asur family. Look how badly I am born. I am born in an Asur family. Okay. Which body is vanquished? My spiritual body is vanquished. Which religion is vanquished? My spiritual religion is vanquished. We have so many other religions. We have upadhis. Upadhis means we have taken upon ourselves. We think that because we are a father, we are a mother, we are a grandfather, whatever, all these people depend on me, therefore I must take care of them. I am an Indian, therefore I have to fight against Pakistan or whatever it is, whoever is the enemy of the day. We are, supposing I take upon myself that I am an engineer, so our institution of engineers makes me fellow of the institution of engineers. So I must now serve the institution of engineers. This is all rubbish, because what can the institution of engineers or what can this army of India do when I am lying down in a bed about to die? Nothing can be done. Only Lord Krishna's holy name can help us. Only remembering his divine pastimes can help us. So, all our spiritual life, our spiritual body, senses and mind were vanquished by an enemy called lust. Now the only way to defeat a very powerful enemy is to take a very powerful friend. Chanakya Pandit, one of the greatest thinkers of all time, was born in India about 2000 odd years ago. He says that the first thing that a new king has to do is to find out who are his friends and who are his enemies. And then he has to put in priority. Friend number 1, my strongest friend. Immediately he has to send his dutes, dutes means ambassador or whoever, to that very powerful potential friend and tie up with them and make alliance. So we have to make an alliance with whom? With the holy name of the Lord. Because only by the holy name of the Lord this enemy called lust will get dissolved. We have to dissolve this enemy, lust. It's very difficult. Prabhupada tells of a story where he was asked by his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj in Calcutta, that you go to one hospital, one very rich man who has been helping us build the Bora Bazaar temple, who gave a lot of money. This gentleman is about to die. So take this prasad for him, just chant the holy name of the Lord in front of him, and see that he goes home back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada was a young man. He and Sridhar Swami, another god brother of his, not our Sridhar Swami who left the world few days ago, but another one, Bengali Sridhar Swami. So they both went to this hospital. When they went to this hospital, this man was in a wonderful big room and all that, being a very rich fellow. So he was lying on the bed, about to die, gasping. So they went in and they presented nice prasadam, Gangajal also they gave, Tulsi also they gave, everything. But he didn't seem to care for that, for all this prasad and Gangajal and Tulsi. So they were wondering what he is caring for, what he is looking at. There was a beautiful nurse, unfortunately, in that room. And this fellow was looking at the nurse only all the time. This fellow is about to die. He is about to die at the age of some 80 years of age, Prabhupada writes in the book. And yet, at the age of 80, he had lusty desires. Can you imagine? The fellow couldn't do anything about it with that woman. What could he do? 85-year-old man, about to die. All his strength is gone. He is no longer even able to get out of his bed without the help of anyone. And here are two angelic people coming. They are like Vishnudhuts, sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So this lusty desires is a big, big enemy. And too many people have fallen. Even great saintly people like Vishwamitra, who for thousands of years did great austerities, had difficulties. So what to speak of us? Now, the question is, Vishwamitra did not have the membership of his god. That was his problem. He did not associate with devotees. Only way you can get in trouble is to be away from devotees. The only way. Associate with devotees as much as you can, of your own sex of course, and you will have less problems. Most important thing is association of devotees, preferably pure devotees. And keep chanting the holy name of the Lord, regardless of whatever happens. Keep reading the Bhagavatam. Keep reading the holy Krishna books. So what does Prahlad Maharaj say? Oh my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all the material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. He is telling Narasingha Bhagavan. Now listen to this wonderful thing. Prahlad Maharaj gives such a statement. Oh my Lord, when a human being, we are all human being, agreed? Okay, so we qualify. Only one thing, we are human being. Oh my Lord, not rich, poor, good looking, intelligent, nothing, human being. We have to be human being. And to be able to give up all material desires in your mind, just give up all material desires in your mind. What is the result of that? Prahlad Maharaj says, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. Because if you have a glass, this is a glass, and if this glass is full of mud, I can't put water in there and drink it. If it's full of dirt, the Americans use the word dirt for what we call mud. We have to empty that, all that dirt, mud. We have to clean that glass and then we have to put drinking water and then drink, isn't it? Similarly, the mind and our intelligence, we have to cleanse it with the holy name of the Lord. Even no soap can work. None of the rim-jim business will work. You see, you have to use the holy name of the Lord. That's the only cleaning media. It will clean your mind. It will clean your heart. of all impurities and then you can bring it in. Then that is called ahituki, perfect, without any material desires. So this is, I am just highlighting the important bottom lines, the most important teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, remember one thing, Bhishma Pita, I'll jump to a very important thing, since we are already at a very advanced stage now, you are all very advanced. Bhishma Pita teaches a very, very important thing. Do you all remember what Bhishma Pita teaches? Does anybody remember? What is the most important thing Bhishma Pita teaches? Because he is a Mahajan, no? So what does this great Mahajan teach us? Bhishma Pita teaches us the definition of love. Can you imagine a man who has never married? This is the important thing. Because by marriage, you lose all love. It's sure. The first day, first night is fine. Lust, satisfied. Love lost. Because, arey, what did I marry? This idiot, the boy is saying, and the girl is saying same thing. Ek din ka raja, jindagi ka gulam. So, they say, no, var raja. So, what var raja? All nonsense. Actually speaking, Bhishma Pita is 100% right. He is a perfect, perfect Mahajan. Because he was such a great devotee. Such a great devotee. Now here is his definition of love. Nobody has defined love in the whole universe. In all the books I have read, right from Shakespeare, I have read Milton, I have read... Milton said, Heaven Lost and Heaven Won. What was that title? Paradise. Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained. But he never explained what is this paradise. He never explained what is love. Bhishma Pita says, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities for any other person. Means you have to put 100% everything. Not one iota, one molecule you have to put anywhere else. 100% everything you have to repose in one personality. Now you have to be very careful when you do that. Because that personality shouldn't disappear with all your love at the time of death. Because that's gone. Because you had reposed everything there. You see? So you have to find that personality who is never going to die. And that is Krishna. Who explains this? This is the best lesson I have learned in my life. And that is from Bhishma Pita. Put all your love and affection to the lotus feet of Krishna. Why lotus feet of Krishna? Anybody can tell me why? Because it is stated in Isopanishad that Krishna is so effulgent initially. He does not show his face, he doesn't show his body also. But you can see the ground on which he is walking. And therefore you can make out these are the lotus feet of the Lord. So at least you can see that when you are dead, when you are having your spiritual eyes. So that is very important to first start with looking at the lotus feet of the Lord. I am diverting for a moment. But the important thing is what Bhishma Pita explains, that and this love should have one thing which is the most important thing for a devotee. The only qualification for entering into this university, sampradaya, you know, I mentioned spiritual university. What is the certificate that you need, entrance certificate? You must be non-duplicitous. That is all. It's very simple. You don't need to have passed the 10th standard exam or 12th standard exam. The Bombay University requires 12th standard or 10th standard certificate, isn't it? School leaving certificate or whatever. You don't need it. What these gopis, which school they had attended? They never attended any school. But they were 100% non-duplicitous. What is the proof of that? That they were non-duplicitous? The proof of it is when Krishna announced that he had a headache, he said that if anybody gives me the raj of his feet or her feet and applies on my head, then my headache will go. Nobody gave the Raj. Narad Muni went everywhere. Narad Muni, wasn't it? Who went? Narad Muni went. To Lakshmi Devi also. Lakshmi Devi said, no, 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 Baba. Many Dunga. It's a great offense. How I can give from my feet Raj and put on my husband's head? I won't do. Nobody was prepared. Only the gopi said, ah, take as much as you can scrape out. Le jao. Sab kuch le jao. Because they were non-duplicitous. That is why the Shastras say the highest devotees were the gopis. Because they were the most non-duplicitous. 100% non-duplicitous. Everybody knows the word duplicitous. Because just before coming here at 1 o'clock, I went through the Oxford Dictionary. This is my style. And I started reading what is the word duplicitous. Supposing somebody asked me, what is the meaning of the word duplicitous? You are saying duplicitous, non-duplicitous. But you don't know yourself. So I had to learn just to be sure. There are two meanings in the book Oxford Dictionary, which is used by Supreme Court of India and this one also, what is Parliament, as and when it meets. What they do there, God alone knows. But anyway, but non-duplicitous means saying and doing the same thing, one meaning. Second meaning is having all your affection in one person. Did you know that? That is the second meaning in the Oxford Dictionary. Oxford Dictionary says very clearly, one, saying and doing the same thing is non-duplicitous. Second thing is reposing all your affection in one person. Then you are perfect. So this is a very difficult subject. How will I live in this world and at the same time put all my love and affection in only Krishna? Then what happens to my children? What happens to my grandson, grandchildren? And all this wife and father, mother, everybody. Yes, Prabhupada has explained very beautifully. See, for all these things we go to Prabhupada. We always go to the Acharyas. We always go to our Guru. That is Radhanath Maharaj. Radhanath Maharaj also has explained. Giriraj Maharaj has explained. One day what happened? Giriraj Maharaj had that vague idea that he was sannyasi. At that time he was Brahmachari. And he didn't care for his mother, he didn't care his father, anything. So his mother and father came running, crying to Prabhupada. They came all the way from America to Calcutta, 3 Albert Road, temple. And they said, we want to take my son back. Prabhupada said, take your son back, I don't mind. So Giriraj Maharaj said, I don't want to go, but. So Prabhupada said, but they are crying. So Giriraj Maharaj said, what can I do? You are my father. So his father was looking at him, what do you mean, I am your father? So Giriraj Maharaj was speaking spiritually because he had taken diksha, he had taken even second initiation. But that fellow didn't know the lawyer. His father was a very great lawyer, Giriraj Maharaj's father in Chicago. Later on I think he became a judge also. So he didn't know. So then Prabhupada explained that he has taken initiation and second birth and this and that. Then Prabhupada said to Giriraj Maharaj, Giriraj, if you don't want to go, nobody will force you. Neither they will force nor I will force. Because in love there is no force. However, you may have all your affection to Krishna, but you must show your compassion and your mercy to your parents and children. You have to show compassion. So then I started looking at the word compassion and mercy. Because I know somebody will ask me, what is that meaning? So definition as per the dictionary and the Shastras is, compassion is sympathetic concern for the suffering and misfortune of others. You show compassion and you give mercy. One is to show compassion and the other is to give something. Supposing somebody is dying on the street and does not have anything to eat, then you give him some food to eat. If you just speak nice words to him, that's not going to fill his stomach.
You may give as much compassion as you want, but the fellow is not interested in that. What he is interested in is prasad. And therefore we say prasad is a mercy of the Lord. Because prasad is something you can physically put in your mouth, you can put it in your stomach, you can digest it. You see? So therefore prasad is a mercy of the Lord. All this is taught by who? Bhishmapita. Bhishmapita is the perfect teacher on this particular subject. The most unusual professor I have met in my life. Because he had nothing to do with family life and therefore he knew the best about this. He says further that this pure love can be transferred to Krishna. Now, love is something you create in yourself. It's not love that somebody gives you. You create your own love for Krishna. Just like an artist, a great painter will paint, like our Haridas Thakur Das has painted all these paintings. He has created these paintings. There are so many devotees who have created these wonderful dresses for the Lord and their lordships. They have created. So you are creative. So you create the love of Krishna and you transfer it to Krishna. How? Out of ecstasy. Because you have to therefore go into meditation by chanting the holy name of the Lord without offense. And out of causeless mercy of the Lord, He Himself takes it. Now, the problem with us is whatever we do is conditioned and it's full of mistakes. So what we do is a very nice thing. And this is something which Lord Krishna has taught in the Bhagavata Gita. That evam parampara praptam. Why we go by disciplic succession is because whatever offering we make has mistakes in it. Because we are conditioned souls. We must accept that. We are not perfect. You see, we are still conditioned souls. Conditioned souls have got four propensities. We make mistakes. We are illusioned. Our senses are imperfect and we have propensity to cheat. So, the Guru Maharaj accepts this offering which you make. He transforms it when, just like Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. This is the season for the mango. So, a ripe mango is on top of the tree. How do you take it down? You don't throw stones at it. You see, somebody goes right up to the top of the tree. You see? And then he will give it to someone. Who's at a lower level. That person will give to lower like that. And therefore you will get the mango in your hand. Similar in one piece. Otherwise the mango may split open. Similarly, the ascending process is also like that. You give your offering, best whatever you can, to your Guru Maharaj. He gives it to his Guru. His Guru gives it to his Guru. Radhanath Maharaj gives it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada gives to Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gives to Gaur Kishore Babaji. Gaur Kishore Babaji gives it to Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Jagannath Babaji, etc. It goes forward, right up to Lord Krishna. So that is the correct process. And in this process, here is the beauty of it, imperfect things become perfect. What you have made offering, which has got imperfections, slowly become purified. Just like you go in a chemical factory and there is a filtering process. Supposing there is some dirt in that liquid, water or whatever it is. All of you are familiar with AquaGuard. So what does this AquaGuard do? It takes water which is not perfect, imperfect water or impure water, but it converts it by a filtration process. So the Guru Evam Parampara is a filtering process for you. It is a merciful process. It's not a mechanical process, it's not a material process, but it is definitely a filtering process of what you offer. You want to hear more? Or shall we stop? It's already 2:30. At what time am I supposed to stop? That's a question and answer. I would just like to tell about, there are so many, there are 12, we have only covered 4 or 5 classes out of 12. There is one thing. Lord Brahma says, who is the first guru after Krishna, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 4 and 7, devotional service unto you, Lord Krishna, is the best path for self-realization. First you have to realize who I am, self-realization. Then you have to realize who is God, that is Krishna. Then you have to realize the sambandha, what is our relationship. Then you have to realize, okay, if that is the relationship, what am I supposed to do? You see, And then what is the result of all that? So all this is explained by Lord Brahma in the 10th chapter, in the 10th canto. And he also explains in the 16th shloka, says that you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. This is very important. Because all of us have gone through the process of Maya. That is how we are here. Because Maya is the controller of this universe. Not in this, fortunately in this temple. Krishna is in control. But that's why Krishna, Prabhupada says, this is like a Vaikuntha Dham. You see, Maya cannot enter here. But, in fact, in this purport it is stated that Krishna bewilders Maya. This is very important. See, Maya is illusion. Maya is bewildering you and me and all of us. So we need a power who is the controller of Maya, who can bewilder Maya. The same Chanakya Niti matter. We have to be friends with Krishna. That's why he offers his hand in friendship. Sakhyaras. So once you have such a friend as Krishna, you can bewilder Maya. Can you imagine that? Because everybody else gets bewildered by Maya. So Lord Brahma is teaching in the 10th canto that it is possible to bewilder Maya, not by me, I tried my best, but I failed. But now I realize only you can bewilder Maya. So this is a very important thing Brahma teaches. And Sukhdev Goswami, who is also one of our greatest acharyas and Mahajans, he also tells Parikshit Maharaj, my dear king, in the 6th canto, 3rd chapter, 31st verse, my dear king, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reaction of the most sinful activities. Even if you have murdered a brahmana, if you have killed a cow, if you have stolen gold from the king, I mean, the worst things that can happen in as per the Shastra, still all that can be solved by chanting of Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So this is the first part of the 12 Mahajans. If anybody has any questions or comments at this stage.
Hare Krishna sir. I want to ask two questions. One is, what is the distinction between the disciplic succession and the 12 Mahajans? And two, some tangible ways of cultivating a friendly relationship with the Supreme Lord, which you stressed upon is very important to fight this juggernaut of Maya and other deadly enemies. So can you share some light on these two points?
The first question he asked was about the disciplic succession and comparing that with the 12 Mahajans, correct?
Yes.
So let's go question by question. As I mentioned, Sukhdev Goswami is one of the Mahajans and he is teaching the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he does not appear in our list of Evam Parampara. Okay. But his father appears, Ved Vyas. Correct? So, we have to follow our disciplic succession. And therefore, we accept whatever is taught by Sukhdev Goswami because he in turn learnt it from his father only. But Vedvyas wasn't present. Vedvyas was already, he had gone to Uttar Badri, at where he resides. He is a Chiranjeev, one of the Chiranjeevs. I think there are 7 Chiranjeevs, like Hanuman and so on. So, it is wisest to go through the disciplic succession because then you are sure and secure. Alright? Another thing you must remember is that in the 12 Mahajans, there are two who are like Paripakcharyas, Narad Muni and Sukhdev Goswami. Both are traveling like mendicants. Okay. I think amongst all the 12, there are only these two. The others are more like Grahasthis. Of course, Sanat Kumars are there. And there is a beautiful teaching of Sanat Kumar, but that we'll discuss later sometime. So this is the disciplic succession is formal and important, Mahajan's teachings are informal, means it's in the Bhagavatam, but we extract the teachings of that and try to incorporate in our life as a way of living. But for offerings and everything formal, you have to go through the Igam Parampara. Okay, so answer one. And answer two was the Maya. You mentioned, firstly you said that how to develop friendship with Krishna. Sorry?
Some tangible means of cultivating this.
Wonderful question. Very, very important and very important and wonderful question. You see, tangible means is like this. Supposing in this room there are 5 people, okay, instead of these 1,000 people. So, out of these 5, you want to develop friendship with one person, whom you don't know, you have not met. What do? You get in touch with somebody who knows him. Am I correct? Now, you have read Prabhupada's poem when he was in the ship on 5th September 1995, just outside Boston. He writes in a mood of Sakyaras. When will the day come again? He is writing to Krishna. When will the day come again when we will frolic together in the fields of Vrindavan? You understand English perfectly? Frolic together means playfully, like friends. So, if you develop friendship with Prabhupada, that is enough. Because he is a friend, he will introduce you to Krishna. Supposing today, now you got a new Prime Minister. Okay, assuming. Now you want to meet her. How do you meet her? You can't. Isn't it? However, the fellow got elected in Bombay, he knows her. Assuming he knows her. Then that MP can introduce you. Because you can write to him. You can tell him, I am from your constituency. Main aapka aadmi hoon. So you become an aadmi of Prabhupada. Main aapka aadmi hoon. I am yours. You see? Then Prabhupada will say, okay. Then do some service, devotional service first. Prove it ki mera aadmi hai. Because Prabhupada was not a fool. he was very sharp. I was afraid of him actually, initially at least. You know, he was too sharp. He was very, very perfect. He was razor sharp, I should say. He would cut the knot immediately of your attachments, wrong attachments. He was so sharp. But it is, I thought it is the wisest policy to do devotional service. Fortunately for you, Prabhupada has given a spiritual son here to us. You see, sometimes you want to meet somebody and you know his son very well. Then it becomes easy. Fortunately, Prabhupada has left his spiritual son with us. Who is he? Radhanath Maharaj. Develop friendship with him. That's very easy. Do devotional service through him. I'm not propagating or advocating. I'm not a lawyer. But I'm a businessman, so I understand which side is bread is butter and which is the profit. Maximum profit, I told you, where there is no cost, there is only gain. So this is the thing. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes, over there. Way behind. He is sitting at the lotus feet of Prabhupada, very intelligent man.
He's our godbrother. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Please stand up, it will be easier to see.
Thank you very much for this wonderful class. My question was that you mentioned that you have to create your love.
Create
your love.
Yes.
For Krishna.
Yes.
But we have heard that, you know, this love is dormant within everyone's heart.
Yes.
So how do you understand this?
See,
when it is dormant, it cannot be created.
No, it's not like that. I'll explain to you. You are also a very fine small particle of Krishna. You understand? You are Anu and Krishna is Vibhu. He explains in, these are the words used by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So all the qualities of Krishna are in you. And one of the qualities of Krishna is Sat Chit Anand, bliss. Now, in that bliss is the controller of bliss for Krishna even is Haladini Shakti Radharani. You understand? So she is the queen of Krishna's love. The other queens, like our Rukminiji and so on, are like Mahalakshmi. She is Mahalakshmi, the minister of finance, not minister of love. Okay, in Krishna's cabinet, there are all these ladies, are the main ladies. Defense, Durga. Finance, Mahalakshmi. Education, minister, Saraswati. And ministry of all love and affection is Radharani. You follow? So if you pray to Radharani and serve Radharani, you will develop that love of Krishna. You follow? It is there in you. Yes, you are Satchitananda. But it is covered so badly, you know, that you have forgotten it totally. We have forgotten. So we must try and make an effort. Purushart. The Sanskrit word is Purushart. You have to make an effort. If you just sit around and do nothing and expect that, you know, somehow, because it's in me, it will come out someday. Love may flow out as if it's a big Ganges river. Nothing's going to happen like that. You have to make that effort. You have to keep chanting, keep doing devotional service, and nothing may happen in this lifetime. Never mind, next life you can continue. But don't lose faith. Okay. Hariwa. But there is no contradiction. You have within you the talent, but the talent has to be expressed by your creation. You have your creative ability also. So some people are very creative by chanting, singing, somebody is sewing, somebody is painting, somebody is making money for Krishna, whatever, teaching. So find out what is your creativity, what you can do, what is your talent, and then that love will develop. We have a question here. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please explain which male or female is more suitable to go back home to Godhead to experience Krishna Prem. Today lecture confused me. Are Bapre. Can somebody tell me, I'm maybe, first of all, it's much easier if you are a woman. Prabhupada says. So that answers your first question. Is it easier to develop prema for Krishna by having a male body or a female body? The answer is female body. Prabhupada himself has explained that many, many times. Because the highest devotees of Lord Krishna, the highest, are the gopis and Yashoda Mai. Acha. In Brahmacharya, in Krishna consciousness, it is mentioned, specially male form is more suitable. Please explain. So, in the Vedas, in our Shastras, very often there may appear to be contradictions. And therefore it may appear to you that there is a confusion. In fact, if you read Bhagavad Gita, it is the most confused Arjun in the first 10 chapters. He is full of confusion. Because he is not sure what Krishna wants. You are offering so many options to me. Supposing we all had one body, neutral body. Then what would happen? Just imagine. We neither had male body nor female body. There would be a big problem. You see? So, therefore there was an option. And therefore there is creation. Otherwise there would not be a creation. Correct? I mean, just let us understand that. Everybody is a hijra, then what would happen? There would be no love of God developed. Here at least there is competition. If the ladies are capable of doing certain things, men are thinking we can do more. The men are doing more, in every household it is there. Every husband and wife knows this. Each one is trying to prove that they are better than the other. So why not use that immense ability of yours in serving Radha Gopinath? That's there in every any married person you ask. I am a married person, so I can tell you about everyone. There is always that little element of competition between male and females. You men are always dominating. You men are never allowing us to do this, never allowing. So we say, all right, you do here then. Here is a male. You can dress him as you want. You can make very nice paraphernalia. Cook the best food for him. Don't cook for me, never mind. But at least cook for him. You see? So, the ladies do have that chance. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, this Brahmachari has written this book, so I don't want to compete with him. Because I am not, my Brahmachari ended at the age of 26, so I can't comment on his book. Because maybe he has not had the experience of a married life. Obviously, he is writing Brahmachari. He was Brahmachari, isn't he? His author? Huh? Sannyasi? Bhakti Vikas Swami. Our Bhakti Vikas Swami. Are Bapra. But he should, I think I'll talk to him privately. Certain things are best left alone, not in public. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question.
Yes, please.
This is not a question, it's a doubt. You mentioned about duplicity, Oxford Dictionary and...
Sorry, duplicity.
Yeah.
There are two meanings in the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah. So you referred to the Honorable Supreme Court of India.
Sorry?
Supreme Court of India.
Yeah, the Oxford Dictionary is the official dictionary used in the Supreme Court of India.
Yes.
And in the Parliament by the Speaker.
So there was no interpretation from Supreme Court of India.
Sorry?
There is no interpretation.
Interpretation.
Yeah.
Huh.
Is there an interpretation other than duplicity, what you said?
No, in duplicity, the book says, the Oxford Dictionary says there are two meanings. You know, usually in the dictionary,
yes,
they give you one, two, three meaning like that. The first meaning they have said is that, the second one is putting all your affection in one person. I was surprised. And the first one said, a person who speaks and does the same thing is non-duplicitous. Suppose you say something and you say that only and you do that only, then you are not duplicitous. You are non-duplicitous. So Krishna likes such people. That is the important issue. He accepts from such people. If you are non-duplicitous, which we only know, I am non-duplicitous or I am duplicitous. Need not be told to us. Because what we say and do should be exact. And the other thing is, we put all our affection in one person. That is surprising. I was really surprised to read that. Please read the Oxford Dictionary, you'll find that. The full Oxford Dictionary, not concise. Concise, they may give one only. Any other question or doubts? Okay, thank you. Huh?